we went last year, some of us went there in the Philippines, and I'm telling you, it was really suffering for Jesus with the food. I don't really mind non-fleshy foods, and Mark is kind of a genius. He makes everything work really well there. He's really good with that stuff. But Beth absolutely refuses to go to the Philippines because plumbing is, she thinks that God can't be there. There's no plumbing. Is that right, Beth? Yeah, he's true. So, but I think God is there, and pretty cool thing. If you get the chance to go, it will be amazing. So we're going to have Mark come up. I'm going to just open it with a word of prayer. Somebody want to get Mark a lapel mic so he doesn't have to shout? Doug, would you do that for him? Come on up, Mark, and we'll start with a word of prayer while Doug equips you.
Okay.
Lord, we thank you so much for this morning and the opportunity to share in what you are doing around the world. God, you are big, and you're not limited in any way to our culture or any age or any geographical area. God, you are at work around the world. I pray that you will open our eyes to see what you are doing and to partner with Mark and Patty and Becca, who are just being faithful to you, doing your work in the Philippines. God, help us too to be inspired to be faithful where we are and to not be afraid to take risks and go where you send us. We look to you, Lord, and we are grateful for such a loving, wonderful God. And we're grateful for your good news of forgiveness and grace that we can share with others. We just pray your blessing on Mark and Patty and Becca on their travels and on their ministry. Lord, teach us how we can encourage them, how we can be part of what they're doing. And God, we give you the glory this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, you got lots of time.
So when?
You take a half an hour.
15:20.
Oh. Yeah. All right. Well, what an honor to be here again. You know, for us, it hurts greatly to go back because, you know, you're all separated from us at one point. When, you know, when we leave, it's a, oh, yeah, that guy and his wife and his daughter are here. But for us, it's like a whole section, you know, mm-hmm. of your anatomy pulled out, your heart, your liver, your... So when we're there, we think of you, it brings a great peace and a joy. You mean so much to us, and you have such an impact of all the things that you don't need to do, but you do anyway. And so you're always with us as we're doing things, because we're always reminded when we go to help out the girls or we go to do something, you're right there with us, because we couldn't do that if it wasn't for you. So when I heard that we were coming back, and Patty says, oh, City's Edge, they're on the schedule, a word popped into my head right away of what to share with you, and that was 5 months ago. And I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. Because when God has something in mind for you 5 months before it happens, there was a lot of time to think about it. And as I started milling over what it meant to me and, you know, where I've come from and where I'm going, I had to apply the same message to my own life. And the basic concept is, where does love and religion and relationship, how do those all intertwine? Are they related? Are they separate? You know, can you become religious in a non-religious setting? Can you get into the habits and the patterns, the very ones that you have tried to not fall into a place that is taking you away from what God has called for you? Can you have the same bad habits that you had before in some other place, or can you fall into a trap in an area that you never thought you could fall into? Where does that all intertwine? Well, for me, being raised Catholic, then going to a Presbyterian church, and then a Baptist church, and then a Methodist church, and then any youth group that I can go to, any youth group that would take me, because I thought my mom knew that I loved youth groups until I found out later she just anywhere that would take me to get me out of the house. And I love camp, so I thought I was sent to camp all summer because I loved camp. Well, Mom loved camp too. So I went to many, many camps. You know, they were every denomination you could think of. And one thing I found is God was there. God was also, you know, at places that in the mountains, he was in the basement, he was wherever that I sought him out. And as I started thinking about what we're called to, you know, there's a confusion many times, especially in society, where we have this, it's almost where they're in separate compartments. You have your religious side or your side of the gospel, and then you have all the other parts. You know, I've got my work, that's different. I've got my school, that's different. And then I've got my relationship with God. And the pursuit of happiness and the pursuit of holiness don't work together. They were never intended, holiness was never intended to take you to happiness. And in the process of separation of, you know, you can't do that here, you can't be religious at work, or you can't share your faith, we have separated into where, well, you know, I'm after comfort, I'm after ease. You know, as I watch these commercials, bigger, faster, stronger, lighter, you know, now you don't even have to think. You can just have it done for, you know, all these inventions and everything, they're fine, but in the trap of pursuit of happiness, you have to question, do those ever counter God's call to holiness? Where do those things affect you, and where do they affect me? So before I got too far in that whole line of thinking, I was just reminded of what I've been called to. The holiness of Christ and who he is and the relationship with him. When you get talking about relationship, you don't get very far until you run into love. And I was reminded of sitting in our house in the Philippines, and I'm sitting in this kind of bamboo chair, and I'm looking across our bamboo floor, and there framed is our neighbor's house that's made of, you know, tarp and cardboard and wood and plastic and, you know, whatever else they could find to patch their house. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, Lord, I just don't know if I can continue doing this. You know, it was one of those days where everything seemed to be calling at me at the same time. And I felt like he just spoke to me and said, do I have enough love for the world, Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah? It's like, well, do you have enough love for the world? Oh, I see where this is going. Yeah. I mean, with Jesus in me and the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead is yours in me from the dead also. Yeah. Yeah, technically. Technically, yes. I might not walk in it, but yes. No, because if I say yes, then was I willing to die for everyone in this world? Yep. Would you be willing to die for anyone? How about that person? So in my view comes a little kid, little boy, usually wearing maybe a shirt, maybe not, wearing just his birthday suit. would you be willing to die for him? I was like, wow, that's my bud. That's my cute little, yeah, Dodon. It's like, yeah, I'd die for him. How about her? A little older. How about her? A grandma. I was like, well, yeah, I'd die for her. Now, grumpy old man comes into view. How about him? Would you be willing to die for him? Well, I would like to be able to. I don't know that I could. I mean, right now I'm really not excited about wanting to. You know, Mark, until you lose your life for me, you will never find the life that I intended for you. When you try to find your own life, you will lose, but when you lose your life for him, you will find the life that he has intended. Now, when you start coming into that area where you say, Lord, am I willing to love any person you send my way? Because technically, if they're alive and they're a human being, they qualify for God's love. If they qualify for God's love, that means they qualify for your love. Now comes the problem is, but I don't want to love them. So if you make that declaration without secretly or whatever, and you still come here, you still hold the Bible, you still go through the motions, you are falling under becoming religious. Going through a motion that was never intended to be in and of itself. It was meant to be through relationship. Now, the first major door you're going to encounter when you're talking about loving, you know, obviously you're going to have to deal with yourself. And in self, the very first thing that I've found is that forgiveness is going to be the first thing you're going to run headlong into. And I've found this equation, and you check your heart and you see what you think. Your ability to love is the same ability that you have to forgive. If you are quick to forgive, then right now you are quick to receive love. But if you are slow to forgive and you found it very difficult to forgive, I would bet that you have a difficult time letting people love you and you loving others. And then you're back into going through motions, going through steps, because if you can't forgive, then you can't be in a position for love. And God even says, and as hard as this is, if you do not forgive them, then I cannot forgive you. See, the times when I walk through my neighborhood, you cannot fake going through my neighborhood. There's no way to fake it. There are all these people that come grab you, want your time, want you to play with them, want money, want help, want just to touch you or to get a hug. And when I'm not willing to love, I can't walk through there. I have to try to sneak around, which that doesn't really work very well. And there have been times when I've been hurt, and, you know, someone walked up to me and said, will you give me, you know, this amount of money? I said, I don't have that money. They said, well, why are you here? If you're a missionary and you're here, you won't give me money. Why are you here? Just go back home. And that hurt. Oh my gosh, that hurt so bad. And I went to my house and I was wounded and I was like, I don't want to go back out there, you know, just shut the window, shut the door. But there's no way around not going back out there. And so I had to say, Lord, you're going to need to help me to forgive them. I know that they didn't mean it necessarily personally, but I'm hurt. So I had to spend the time to go to the Father and ask for forgiveness and ask for help me to forgive them. And this particular day, two more incidences happened. And one happened while I was trying to walk out, and it hurt so bad that I just turned right back and went to my house and went in and spent time again with the Father just to get up to the church. Because at the time, we now have a scooter, but at the time, I couldn't just buzz past them. And even now, I still try not to. Because of what it forces me to do is understand that the relationship with God and the relationship of others, the love that you live, is in the pursuit and who we are called to be in holiness. And not, it takes us to the true form of religion. What is true religion? What does the Bible say it is? Yeah, it's love. Loving orphans and widows is what is quoted. But what I see in there is active love. You know, first of all, you can fall under a religious spirit anywhere, even the coolest, hippest church around. You can still fall into a religious spirit. So don't believe for a moment that you are exempt because this is an amazing place. I know, that's not the word I wanted to give either, but it's still about relationship. And if that relationship looks like in pews with stained glass windows, then it's relationship. If it looks like here, then it's relationship. But relationship is and love is what God had called. As I started looking at Jesus' relationship with the Father and what love looks like fleshed out, I was actually amazed, because I never drew the conclusion that love had not been seen before. It was so uncommon that Jesus said, you know what, I'm going to give you a brand new commandment, right? We got Moses' commandments, we got all these religious leaders. Do you think there was a lot of religious activity at the time? Tons. You know, people are binding stuff on their head and their scripture on their wrists and on their heart, and there's all kinds of, you know, meetings and synagogues, all of that, and Jesus is going to give a new commandment. Brand spanking new, straight off the lot. And what's that new commandment? Love one another. That's really sad. It took all those years, and we got to be given a new commandment. And so Jesus lived out this new commandment of love. Now, he still went to the synagogues. He still put his prayer shawl on. He still did those things, right? Things that a Jewish person would do, and according to the law. But it was done through what? Through relationship with the Father. I don't say anything the Father doesn't say. I don't do anything the Father doesn't do. And it was done in love. Now, what does that love look like? Well, love looks like this. Love says no. Love says yes. Love says wait. Love cries. Love laughs. Love tips over tables. See, we think that love is just about the good moments. But that's that trap in the pursuit of happiness. We're not called biblically to pursue happiness and comfort and ease, though those things are fine in and of themselves. Yes? No?
Yeah.
I know, it's a big meal to eat. So, understanding the Jewish culture, you would know that Jews and Romans didn't get along. This was not something that ever you would spend time with a Roman. But yet, Jesus goes to uplift and encourage a Roman soldier. Now, the fact that he even walked over to him probably made everybody nauseous. Because everything was about, at that time, that oppression. And not only does he go over and talk to him, but he gives him one of the biggest spiritual compliments that I know of in the Bible. No greater faith. Wow, you have great faith. And he gives this compliment to a Roman soldier. He goes to the Samaritan, kind of the black sheep of the family as far as the Jewish culture. Even talks to a woman Samaritan. He has the opportunity of someone who's in sin, who a woman they could have just killed right there on the spot, but he chooses to communicate with her and forgive her. He goes to a leper, which is like a death sentence, an instant death sentence, to go talk to a leper and touch a leper. See, he was doing all the more, he didn't have to do those things. But love in the relationship is lived out, because the love of the Father in me is now the ability to love others. But when you are hurt, then we tend to do one of two things. We either tend to hurt other people, or we put up our walls and say, I'm not going to get hurt again. That's that. I will go through the motions, but I am not getting hurt again. Your ability to forgive will mirror your ability to love. Your lack of ability to forgive will mirror your lack of ability to love, which is then directly related to your relationship with your Father, and it's directly related to your relationship with people. Now, do we have all of that cast of characters here in Portland? Do you have people that you don't understand? You have people that are unrelatable to you, people that are undesirable to you? Are those people still here, or was that just biblical times? Well, if you're wondering, take public transportation for a while. Sit in the back and challenge yourself to get to know everybody who sits in the back, to speak to them regardless of who it is. You know what? They qualify. They qualify because they're a person. That is true religion. Loving as in love with the Father. Now, if you never came here anymore, could you have still everything that God has intended? If this congregation wasn't here, could you still have all that the Father has for you? Yes or no? Yeah. This is wonderful. But this is not in and of itself. This is not the checklist to the relationship. Check, went to church. Woo, call it good. I'm done for the week. Relationship is about ongoing. And God, as any father, you know, if my daughter said, well, I cleaned my room, I kissed you on the cheek, I'm done for the week, I'll see you next Saturday, I would have a broken heart the entire week. I don't set schedules for any chance I get, that's what I want. Is your Father that personable? He is, and he wants to be with you, and he wants to live love through you. But through our hurts and through our misunderstandings, and sometimes through our religious things that we've gotten into, we have missed or confused. We've made complicated something simple. Now, just because this is a simple concept doesn't mean it's easy. To forgive and to love people that we can't relate to or don't like, that's not easy. Because you get to deal with a whole lot of things now, which, you know, I know that you're not looking forward to, and it's been difficult for me also. But you know what happens when you decide, Lord, I want to see things the way you see things. I want to love regardless. If they're a person, they qualify. I'm willing to lay down my life because they qualify. The moment that I was able to freely say that, I will lay down my life for any human being, Father, because they're your child and you lay down your life for them. I have never been more alive. Trying not to hold on to something that I can't hold on to. You can't hold on to that. Some of you are trying to protect yourself from hurt that you can't protect. You're trying to keep yourself, you know, from something happening to you or dodging death. You cannot protect yourself from that. From ultimately, you know, no one gets out alive. The question is, are you living? Not existing, are you living? Are you filled with the Father's love and loving others? It has been so freeing. You know, there were some things that happened. And I on my heart to go up into the mountains. There's a rebel army to go up and I wanted to share with them what they're doing is wrong and give them Bibles. And, you know, there's a good chance of being kidnapped or killed when I went up there. But I really felt like everybody's running from them and I needed to go up there. You know how freeing it was, and my family kissed me, and as I went up the mountain, you know, I knew that I'm going to see them again. They knew they were going to see me again, and I knew that if it happened, I was sharing God's love, and if it didn't happen, I was going to come back and live God's love. And it was so freeing. I was a little nervous. It's true. But that's not the issue. Your feelings aren't the issue. You may not like to help that person. Your feelings may not, but it's still not the issue. The issue is, who have we been called to be, and what has God called us to do? And it's not just the action. It's out of that overflow. I've come to give life and life abundantly, which means overflowing. All the overflow. You can just splash that around on people. But if you don't have that, you need to ask yourself a couple questions. Why don't I have that overflowing life? You really need to ask that question. And most of you are going to run into this. I don't have it because I haven't been free to forgive those that hurt me. And you know what? Those that hurt you is probably very legitimate. What they did was wrong. You're right. But are you doing the right thing? You can be right and not do the right thing. Jesus says, what I have for you today, and I have it freely. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy burdened. I will give you rest. You want rest today? Do you want love today? Do you want overflowing love? Are you holding on to something that you can't hold on to? Have you been holding on to hurts and wounds for so long that you don't even know what it would be like if you didn't have them? He's big enough to take those. He's not interested in your religion. He's interested in your relationship. He's interested in your heart. He wants to be your Father. And as I get to give these things up to Him, I love the place He puts me in. I get to love all day long. It's just great. Sometimes I even feel guilty about it. Yeah, I play with kids all day, speak about God's word all day. Even when I'm working, I get to build and create things, you know, pull all this crooked wood. And it's like, oh, you know what? If we put all this crooked wood together, we can make this cool arch thing, you know. And I have so much fun because His life and love is something to swim in, play in, rejoice in. And it's for you daily. It's for you right now. So what I want you to do is, if that rings true in your heart, I don't want you to waste another day holding on to those hurts. Because they're dragging you down. You're dragging a giant diesel tire around. Walking through the mall, dragging a diesel tire. Going to work, dragging a diesel tire. Hurt. His forgiveness is right now. His love and relationship and a deeper is right now. And He loves to be with you. And He loves to take those things. And as hard as it is, He wants you to experience His love as you love others.
So if you have the chance at all to come here this evening, even for a bit, it would be great, because Mark is going to tell about how this sacrificial love has been fleshed out in the Philippines and give you some practical examples. And I'm going to put him on the spot. I'm going to say, we can ask any question we want tonight.
Sure.
We just dive right in and ask questions. Is that okay?
Yeah, if you're willing to go there.
Yeah.
Be careful what you ask for.
This is true. But
it'll be just like in the 3D room, you know.
Just
everybody
right there.
Sees everything and hears everything.
Right there, right in the middle of it. And that's where you're going to be.
Yeah.
All right. Let's close with prayer and pray for my brother Mark here and for his family. Lord God, as I think about the challenge of living a life of sacrificial love, of love that's willing to lay down my life for any and every person, it seems overwhelming, and I know that is only something that can happen by the power of your Spirit. And so, God, I ask that you give me, and I ask that you give every one of us that perspective, because it comes from you. That's not a perspective that we have naturally. It comes from your Holy Spirit. But it is the life we were meant to live. It's the full life. It's the abundant life. And so, God, I know that each person in here desires to have that life that they were meant to have. God, give us that perspective in our daily lives, the people around us that we run into. Help us to see things that we don't normally look for, see people that we don't normally look at. God, I pray your blessing on Mark and Patty and Becca, that you will strengthen them, that they really will be your love to the world around them, here and in the Philippines and wherever they go. And God, continue to work through them. Continue to give them your perspective on people. And I pray, too, for the girls in Nehemiah House in the village of Pandan, Lord, just that your light would shine there. That they would see you. In Jesus' name.